Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. If you're alive, you've got stress in your life. So you can probably relate to this note. Dear Pastor Rick, a few weeks ago I went to a doctor for some chronic aches and pains that seemed to be getting worse. I don't sleep well. I told my doctor that I'd started a business 7 years ago and it had become very, very successful. But now, I just forced myself to go to work. I feel overwhelmed. I feel overloaded. So my doctor asked me to list the stresses in my life and then think of some possible ways to reduce those stresses. He said, then write down a plan of attack. Well, I need some help. I'd like to know what the Bible says about stress management. Well, I can help this guy, and I can help you, because the Bible is the best stress relief manual in the world. Today, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say, what God's Word has to say about handling the stresses in your life. I'm excited about this, so let's get started.
Today, on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness with part one of a message called How to Keep from Stressing Out, taken from the book of Philippians. Now, right before we begin, if you've ever struggled with having joy in your life, and who among us hasn't, then you're going to want to stay right here, because in just a couple of minutes, we're going to tell you about Kay Warren's life-changing book, Choose Joy. And that's something you don't want to miss out on. If you'd like to take a sneak peek at this great resource while you're listening today, go to rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. But right now, let's get started with today's lesson. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
We've been in this series through the book of Philippians, and as we come to chapter 4, Paul gives us in verses 6 to 13 the classic anti-stress management recipe. If you have a Bible, you can open to Philippians chapter 4. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. Just pull out these notes. All the verses we're going to look at are inside your bulletin on this text passage outline. Now, the key to this is that this passage actually comes with a stress management guarantee. And it's not guaranteed by a doctor, it's guaranteed by God. So you really want to pay attention to this one if you want to lower the stress in your life. In verse 7, we have the promised guarantee. Here's what it says. If you do these things, you will experience God's peace. There you go. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. The Bible calls this the peace that passes understanding. How do you know when you have the peace that passes understanding? You're in a situation when you have no logical reason to be at peace, and you are. That's the peace that passes understanding. When you're in a situation where you're in total chaos, total meltdown, total stress, total tension, everything is going wrong at the same time, and yet you're at peace inside. That is the peace that passes understanding. God says, I guarantee this to you. If you do these things, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind could understand. His peace will keep your thoughts quiet and keep your heart at rest. Wouldn't you like that? To have your thoughts quiet and your heart at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Now, God promises a more peaceful, less stressed mind. Is anybody interested in this? Yeah, I think so. Now, you know that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But with every promise, there is a premise. God says, if you do this, then I'll do this. There is a condition. And I want you to circle the premise for this promise. And it is those first several words. If you do these things, circle that. If you do these things, it's going to keep you from stressing out. You will experience God's peace. His peace will keep your thoughts quiet, keep your hearts at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. If you do these things, what things? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. And there specifically are five things that God says to do in this passage. He says, I want you to worry about nothing. I want you to pray about everything. I want you to thank God in all things. I want to keep you to keep your mind on good things, and I want you to be content in all things. Now, we're going to look at these in detail, so let's get right into it. If you're taking notes, here's the first step. If I want to keep from stressing out, number one, refuse to worry about anything. Refuse to worry about anything. Why? Because the number one source of stress in your life is not work. It is worry. You may be overworked, but it's more likely you are over-worried. Work doesn't keep you up at night. Worry does. And most of you are over-worried. Now, God is very clear in the Bible what he thinks about worry. And that's the first verse. Verse 6, the first part of the first verse, verse 6, Philippians 4, it says this. Never worry about anything. Now, circle never and circle anything. Never worry about anything. Question, is there any wiggle room in that verse? No. Is there any exception? No. Is there any exemption? No. Is there any reason where God says it's okay to worry in this circumstance? No. Never worry about anything. That's about as big a blanket statement as you can make. He says, in no circumstance, well, what about no? Never worry about anything. But what about no? Never worry about anything. But what about no? Never worry about anything. Now, Jesus thought worry was such an important topic that he spent a major section of his most famous sermons called the Sermon on the Mount talking about worry. And in that Sermon on the Mount, he gives us the four reasons you should never worry about anything. You might want to write these down. Number one, Jesus says about worry is unreasonable. It's illogical. It is unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. Matthew 6, 25, Jesus says this. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or about your body or what you wear. Is not life more important than food? And is not the body more important than clothes? He's saying, this is not logical. You got your priorities out of order. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense. It's unreasonable. Now, why is worry unreasonable? Well, there's a couple reasons. First, because worry exaggerates the problem. It never makes a problem smaller. It always makes it bigger. Have you noticed somebody says something bad about you, the more you think about it, the bigger it gets. Or you got a problem you start worrying about, the more you worry about it, does the problem shrink with your worry? No, it always gets bigger. Worry exaggerates. It's irrational. It's unreasonable. It makes it bigger. It grows the problem out of proportion. And not only is worry exaggerating your problem, worry doesn't work. It never has worked. It is worthless. It is stewing without doing. It doesn't make any difference in your life. You see, to worry about something you can't change is useless. And to worry about something you can change is stupid. Just go change it. In either case, worry is not the answer. Worry doesn't work. It's unreasonable. Second, Jesus says worry is unnatural. It's unnatural. Why? Because in the entire universe, the only creations of God that worry are human beings. Birds don't worry. Cows don't worry. Dogs don't worry. Cats don't worry. Cats create worries, but they don't worry. Worry is unnatural. What do I mean by that? Because you weren't born with it. There are no born worriers. You might think you are, but you're not. You're not a born worrier. You learned it. Worry is something you learn. Now, the good news is if you learn to worry, it can be, unlearned.
Well, that's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How to Keep from Stressing Out. It's from our series, The Habits of Happiness. There's a lot of daily hope around the corner, so stay with us.
It's easy to be joyful in the good times, right? But what about the not-so-good times, like a bad day or a bad week or a bad year or two? We know the Bible says that deep and authentic joy is available to us, in spite of our feelings or our circumstances. But we also know that life isn't always rainbows, sunshine, and birds singing. It's during those times that our joy just seems to fly out the window. If you've been beating yourself up over not being able to hang on to that happy feeling all the time, first, forgive yourself. Then let us send you Kate Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. It's our way of saying thanks for financially supporting Daily Hope. In this deeply honest book, Kay shares about the time in her life when her personal reality was not lining up with the sense of joy described in the scriptures, and what it took for her to finally experience true and lasting joy, no matter what. If you want that very same thing, call us right now at 800-600-5004. or visit rickwarren.org to get a copy for yourself or a friend. If you like, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Worry is unnatural. What do I mean by that? Because you weren't born with it. There are no born worriers. You might think you are, but you're not. You're not a born worrier. You learned it. Worry is something you learn. Now, the good news is if you learn to worry, it can be, unlearned. Now, you learned it, and actually, to get good at it, you got to practice it. Some of you are pros at worry. You have practiced it so much. You are so good at worrying. You get the PhD. If they had Olympics on worry, you'd get a 10, okay? Because you have practiced it so much, but it's learned. Worry is not natural. No baby is born worrying. They pick it up from everybody else. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If anybody's on God's welfare program, it's birds. They don't do anything except birdie things. Tweet, that's it. Well, I tweet, but maybe they tweet too. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, but he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Notice your heavenly Father. He's not talking about the bird's heavenly Father. He's saying your heavenly Father. Now, if God is your heavenly Father and you are his child, children get special privileges. And children of royalty are treated royally. And he says, what are you worrying about? Birds don't worry, and they're not even, God's not their father. God's their creator, but not their father. God's your father. Don't worry about it. He says, birds don't worry. Animals don't worry. Verse 28 and 29, Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. The field lilies, they don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all his glory was never clothed as beautifully as they are. He's saying, in all of God's creation, in the entire universe, only human beings worry. Animals don't worry. Plants don't worry. We are the only thing God made that doesn't trust him. And he says, worry is unnatural. He says, God says, you're valuable, more valuable than these things. I take care of them. By the way, since worry is unnatural, it's also unhealthy. Your body wasn't designed to handle worry. It wasn't designed. When people say, I'm worried sick, they're telling the truth. And doctors say a lot of people could leave hospitals today if they knew how to get rid of guilt, resentment, and worry, because that's what puts most people in. And see, what I'm saying is, it's not so much what you eat. It's what eats you that makes you sick. It's the worry in your life. It's not just unnatural, it's unhealthy. It causes all kinds of health problems. The Bible says this, Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Well, you know that one. And you feel like you're just pulled down by the worries. You know, the word worry actually comes from an old English word, which means to strangle or to choke. That's what worry comes from, to strangle or choke. And when every time you worry, you are strangling and choking the life out of your life. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Look at the opposite. Proverbs 14:30 says, but a heart at peace gives life to the body. You want to be healthier? You need to stop worrying. Never worry about anything. Why? It's unreasonable and it's unnatural. The third thing Jesus says, it's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Worry cannot make you 1 inch taller. Worry can't make you 1 inch shorter. Worry can't take 10 inches off my waist. If it could, it would have. Worry cannot lengthen your life. It can shorten your life, though. We know that. Worry cannot change the past, and worry cannot control the future. It messes up today. That's all it does. It doesn't change the past. It can't change, control the future. It just messes up today. It's kind of like sitting in a rocking chair. You expend a lot of energy, but you don't make any progress. You're just, it's useless. The only thing that worry changes is you. It makes you miserable. Has never solved the problem. It's unhelpful. And then the fourth reason why the Bible says never worry about anything is because it's unnecessary. God says, what in the world are you worrying about? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Don't you think I'm going to meet your needs? I made you. I created you. I saved you. I love you. I put my spirit in you. Don't you think I'm going to take care of your needs? It's unhelpful, but it's also unnecessary. There's no need to worry. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:30. You know, if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, think of all the beautiful flowers that are never seen by human beings, but God takes care of them. He said, if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he most surely care for you, oh, you of little faith? The Bible says this, 1 Peter 5:7. Unload all your worries on God, since he is looking after you. And I love that word unload, because literally in the original Greek it means to just drop. It's not like take a long throw of it, like you're throwing a baseball or throwing a rock across a lake. It just says unload. It means let it go. Let it go. And God says, you know all those things you're stressing about this morning, all those things you're anxious, you're worried, you're fearful, you're uptight about? Let it go. Let it go. Never worry about anything, because it's not going to do any good anyway. So what do anyway? You do the next step. And that's the second part of this verse. First part of verse 6 says, never worry about anything. The second part is, talk to God about everything. That's the second step. You talk to God about everything. Don't panic. Pray. Don't worry. Worship. Stop talking to yourself about all the stuff that stresses you out and start talking to God. Talking to yourself won't do anything, but talking to God will. He's saying, talk to God about everything. This is the second part of this verse, Philippians 4:6. Never worry about anything. Instead, in every situation, let God know what you need in your prayers and in your request. You know, I got to thinking yesterday, if you prayed as much as you worry, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. And by the way, since God has promised to care for you, if it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about. And he says, talk to God about everything. God knows what you need in your prayers. You know, when I was a kid, anytime I had a need in my life, I'd go talk to my dad and say, Dad, I need this. And sometimes it was something that cost something. It was expensive. And I said, Dad, I need this. I can distinctly remember that not once as a kid when I said, Dad, I need this, never once did I worry about where my father was going to get the money. Never once. Because that's not my job. It's my dad's job to figure out where the money is going to come from. It was my job as a kid, as a child, to simply ask. It's not your job to figure out how God's going to do it. It's your job to ask. To ask your Heavenly Father, Father, I need this help. You see, when you worry instead of asking, you're acting like an atheist. Worry is practical atheism. That's what it is. It's acting like I don't have a Heavenly Father in my life. It's acting like God doesn't exist. It's acting like I'm a spiritual orphan. Worry is practical atheism. God says, I'll take care of you. It's acting like God can't be trusted. Now, here's what the Bible says. Look in your outline, James 4:2. You do not have because what? You do not ask. You do not ask God. So here's the second key to stress management. Worry less, ask more. Worry less, ask more. Instead of worrying, pray. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. He said, well, I don't want to bother God with this little bitty, tiny little thing. There's nothing tiny to God. Every problem in your life is tiny to God. There's no big problems in your life. There are no little problems in your life because all of them are tiny to God. Now, here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8:32. Since God did not spare even his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all. He died on the cross for us. Won't he who gave us Christ also give us everything else we need? What's he saying here? Follow the logic. Your biggest problem is getting into heaven because heaven's perfect and you're not, and neither am I. I stopped batting 1,000 about breath number 3. And so God came up with plan B. He came to earth in human form. And he said, I'll live a perfect life and I'll die for you and you can get into heaven on my ticket. It's grace. I don't work it. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't buy it. It's just grace. I told you last week that one of my mentors was Peter Drucker. And I asked Peter one time, Peter, at what point did you step across the line and accept a relationship with Jesus? He said, you know, Rick, the day that I understood grace for the first time, I realized I'm never getting a better deal. There was no way I'm getting into heaven on my goodness. I'm not good enough. It says, if God did not spare his own son, but gave him for us, won't he give us everything that Christ has given to us? Won't he give us everything else we need? If God solved my biggest problem, everything else is small by comparison.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. And Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. But right before that, you know, sometimes life throws us curves. There are these little annoyances like traffic tickets, a neighbor's barking dog, long lines at the supermarket. And then there are deep hurts, like serious illnesses, financial disasters, or the loss of a loved one. Now, the Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. Now, if you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In this gut-level, honest book, Kay shares how her personal reality wasn't lining up with the sense of joy described in the scriptures, and what it took for her to finally grab hold of it. Now this month, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the book Choose Joy by Kay Warren. It's our way of saying thanks. So call right now, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy. Or if you like, you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. And thanks so much in advance for your support. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Also, you can listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
I want to thank all of you who've taken the time to write me and to share your story. I absolutely love these stories. Your letters and your notes really encourage me. Here's a note from a listener that I just want to share with you. It said, Pastor Rick, I want to thank you for your ministry of the Daily Hope podcast. They've been especially helpful as my wife and I are working through a painful time in our marriage and healing our relationship. It's a blessing to be challenged to love the Jesus kind of love and to build up trust once again where it's been broken. You know, as I work through a very busy time of year, I stream your podcast and find myself praying and nodding all day long. Now, I hope you're nodding in agreement, not nodding off in sleep. Your preaching speaks directly to my heart, and I'm praying for the courage to rebuild the trust and love, to love her the way that God built me to love her. Thanks again for your work and the transformative change it brings out. I truly don't know where I'd be without Daily Hope podcast. Sincerely, Nathan. Thanks for writing, Nathan. I want you to know that I'm going to be praying specifically for you and for your wife and for your marriage. It means a lot to me to know that these broadcasts are helping you through a difficult time. Now, let me say to the rest of you, one of the most powerful things you can do is share your story. And you can write it to me, rick@rickwarren.org. Or you can actually call it in if you don't like to write, 1-800-600-5004, 1-800-600-5004, and ask for the testimony line. And there you can record a short message for me and our staff, and we'll play some of these testimonies on air so others can be encouraged. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.